again here on Firefall Talk Radio. Time for the porch. Back to normal. Intro music. Computer, soundboard, I welcome you. Broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio, Firefall Talk Radio can only be heard live on Spreaker.com. You can also get us archived here as well as Blog Talk, the old Blog Talk page, iTunes, and iHeartRadio. So welcome to all our listeners. This is where we get back to basics. We examine the Word of God, especially the Book of Acts, Church. We use them as our example to follow. See, I want us to be inspired enough to serve the Lord the way they did, and to restore the priesthood of the believer, and for all of us, no matter who you are, to have that world-shaking influence the early church had. To do that, we have to go deeper into Scripture. We have to look at the Word through an uncompromised viewpoint. No rosy filter, no ear tickling. We need to get real. We need to stop the foolishness and the religious nonsense and get back to basics, the red letter basics. Because the church age is still in effect. The fire is still falling. It's there for you if you want it. Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. on solomonsporch.org. If you have any questions, you want to contact us, you can also go to firefalltalkradio.com. And if you want to support us, which I would greatly appreciate, that seems to have fallen off for some reason, use the support buttons there. Apologies for last week's show. Got it done. It was a little rough. It was a little raw. And then Sunday night, we were not able to do Reflections in the Dark because we had just gotten our power back, and it was just a crazy time. I appreciate all the prayers and all the people that reached out to us about the hurricane. Subscribe to us on the Spreaker app. You'll know when we're broadcasting. You'll know when a new episode is up. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Folks, we need to pray for America. We need to pray for Florida. After what we've been through, continue to pray for Texas. They're still going through it. For the Caribbean, for Puerto Rico, for Mexico. We need to pray for the world. We're going to talk about that. Starting our praise report, prayer request. Well, I praise the Lord for my home and for protecting it and me and my family and my pets during the storm. I praise him for this ministry. I praise him for you, for his favor, for the provisions and the dreams and the visions, for the insights and the revelation that word still comes alive. And I know that sounds foolish, but you know, I've been doing this now for 29 years in a couple of weeks. Actually, yeah, about 2 weeks. And the word is still fresh, and it's still vibrant, and it's still exciting. I praise him for the healing virtues that are still available to us. I praise him for everything that he's done for us and everything that he is doing. I praise him for being an American, where I have the freedom to do this, to preach the gospel, to not worry about the door being kicked in, at least not yet. And we need to be appreciative. We can complain. We can get caught up in all the nonsense, but we need to appreciate what we have. But you know what? This isn't my home, and this isn't the best that he has for me. So I praise him for the coming kingdom and the new Jerusalem. My prayer is that we would enter into a time of divine wholeness and healing. Health, divine health, his health for all of us, for you, for me, my wife, my family, even our furry kids. You can't serve him if you're sick. Well, I mean, you can, and we do. But if we're going to run and not grow weary, if we're going to walk and not faint, if we're going to rise up above the storm, then we need some health and healing. Some of you are sick right now. Some of you are struggling. In the name of Yeshua, there's going to be a time at the end of this broadcast for you to pray. I have an unspoken prayer of favor. We need some supernatural favor right now in a situation. And I'm also praying for prayer covering and protection for me, for SRT and our families and everybody that's been involved with the documentary. This is a very supernaturally active time. There's been a shift. I can't explain it. I'm not prepared to talk about it, but something has shifted. And the closer we get to Yom Kippur, the end of Elul, I can just feel it. I want to keep the concept of community going. I've been talking about a Skype conference call, prayer groups, and I've gotten two responses. This is the last call. Let me know what you think. Otherwise, I'll figure something out for the two people that really want to do it. Continue to pray for what I call Mission 2017, that efficient operation of the calling, exposing the enemy, seeking the lost, helping the dying, and destroying the enemy. Folks, as I've sat here all day and I've worked on this Bible study, and I don't know how to put it into words, which is unusual for me. And I don't want to call it a seriousness. I've been a warrior for the Lord since I got saved. But there's something rolling around inside of me. There's something rumbling. There's something happening that's taking me to a place that the Lord will be glorified and the enemy will be sorry. He participated in creating that mindset. My son Chris out in Glendale, he has a prayer request for all those affected by the storms, for the those that are affected by the earthquakes, all the natural disasters that are happening out in the world. He prays that the Lord's children would walk in love during these dark times and suffering to be that light. Prayer request for his girlfriend, who's an actress, who's on standby for a commercial booking and meetings with some new managers to help her with her career, that the Lord's will be done in her life. All right, Stacy and Fort Mitchell, I'm going to get it right this week. Really messed it up last week, and the phone, the tablet, it just went haywire. And to make sure I got it right, Stacy gave me a master thesis, praise report, prayer request. Says, I'm thankful for the good in my life that keeps me getting out of bed in the morning. Without certain people in my life, I'm not sure I'd make it in this world. I'm thankful for new opportunities and blessings which have recently come up. Says I'll be moving my horse to a real barn soon, and that is a huge blessing. It will be much better for her. So I'm praying for God to judge everything unrighteous in America, our government, our health care, and for everyone who is in bondage to the system to be free. I'm praying for my marriage, my friend's marriage. The world's tearing people's families apart, and it's not okay. I'm praying for my husband, thinking that he's been waiting for at work to take off, so that he can provide the way he wishes that he could. For myself, I'm asking for peace and comfort. There's another expedition going up to the mountain where her dad's Eastern Airlines plane crashed all those years ago. It's been organized by an actor from NCIS named Peter Campbell. He wants to do a documentary about it to give it some exposure. She's also still having problems with the whole healthcare industry and the VA. There's a lot of confusion. I don't want to go into the whole thing here publicly regarding her documents, regarding her records, regarding her treatment. She just wants it all to come out to the open and be made right. And also getting back to her horse, Jesse, she's got some wounds from when she was with the previous owner and abused that have become infected. And she's been treating it as best she can, and it will be treating it with a new vet recent coming up. But it's not getting better, so pray for Josie, her horse. Jesse, her horse. I don't know who Josie is. Pray for Josie, too. There's probably a horse out there named Josie. Was that Josie and the Pussycats? I don't know. Kim in Fort Mitchell. Kim, I'm going to get yours right, too. She says, I hope you and the family are well. You got your power back. Yes, we did. Happy Jewish New Year for those who celebrate it. Yep. L'shana tova. I'm doing well, feeling blessed. I praise him for this time of peace in my life. I just praise him for Yeshua. I feel blessed that he has saved me, saved my soul. Praise him for my children, my husband, my mother, and the few people I call friends. Praise him for the porch community and for you, Richard. And yes, that needs to be said. And I'm only reading this, Kim, because of the way you worded it. I knew you'd probably be offended if I did not. You're the most, one of the most intelligent people I know, with so much compassion and faith in your heart and a great sense of humor. I appreciate what you do, brother. Father, it's hard to watch news nowadays. I'm praying for your children to repent, including me. I'm praying for the innocent lives and souls. Father, show me what to pray, because I don't know sometimes. I'm praying for this all to be over soon, but until then, show me what you want me to do. I keep hearing be still, but that's really hard for me, but I will obey. Father, please heal my feet from this infection. Protect our family from the enemy in Yeshua's name. Father, Abba, we love you. I don't want to come running into the throne room without telling you how much we love you, how much we praise you, how much we worship you, how much we adore you. Thank you. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for all that we have. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Yeshua. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit and your angels and your word and never abandoning us or giving up on us, for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your nature. I thank you, Lord, for the cross, what you endured, what you allowed them to do to you for us. I thank you that you're not in the tomb, that you're alive, and you're coming back, and we long for that moment that you split the sky. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for your teaching and your encouragement. I thank you for your gentleness in all these things. We just pray for those people that are suffering, our brothers and sisters around the world, Lord. I pray for the animals that are suffering because of us, because of what Adam did in the garden and what we have continued to do in being disobedient to you. I've sat here today thinking about all the horses and dogs and cats and birds and lizards and all the things that are dying in these storms and the hurricanes and the earthquakes. Oh, yes, I know people are dying too, and children and all those things. I'm not discounting that. It's the innocents, those that have no part in the fallen nature of this world, but yet suffer anyway. Father, bless us. Bless this time. Let your spirit flow. Let your fire fall. Open our hearts and our minds. Encourage us. Renew us right now, Lord. Let this word come alive. Let us hear what needs to be heard. Let me say what needs to be said. Bless the technology. Bless this, Lord. Bless it, bless it, bless it. In Yeshua's name, amen. Lessons are proprietary information except where noted. That the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive and cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So the title of this lesson is called Signs and Sounds. And you'll understand what it is when I get to the end. But open your Bibles. And folks, if ever I have been encouraged for us not to rely on tablets and all those other things, it was during this hurricane. When the power is gone, you want a real Bible cover and pages in your hand. If you don't have one and you cannot afford one, you write me and I will get you one. Go with me to Matthew 24, and we're going to start with verse 1. I'm not sure what's going on with my voice. I'm having an allergic reaction to something, but what else is new? All right, Yeshua went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show them the buildings of the temple. And Yeshua said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came up to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the age and of the end of the age." If you look at verse 3, there's three things they asked there. When will these things be? The meaning of the destruction of the temple. What will be the sign of your coming? And the sign of the end of the age. And the confusion that comes, which is why he's about to say, don't be deceived, is that there are three distinctly different things that sometimes get confused as one event. So Yeshua answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." All of these things are aspects of a prelude to the end times. People saying that he's the Messiah, but yet still being deceptive, false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing. The wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the famines, the pestilences, all those natural events are just the beginning. And then the tribulation and them killing and being hated because we believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And the offense that will come from it, and the betrayal and the hatred, and then the false prophets rising up and deceiving people. And then lawlessness, which is sin, abounding because the love of God and the love for one another and the love of the Lord has gone cold. But if you can endure all of that, if you can make it to the end, you'll be saved. But see, the gospel, the good news, has to be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. So when they say, "Tell us when these things will be," tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age and the second coming leading to the end of the age. Plural description of the destruction of the temple and the end of the age, two separate events, which is why people got deceived, which is why a replacement theology and amillennialism and all the nonsense that's out there gets confused, because the temple was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. The devastation was so great that the precise location of the sanctuary is still unknown. But that didn't trigger the end of the age. And being deceived is very easy. The destruction of the temple did not trigger the end of the age. Then you jump down to verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken." Again, time frame after the tribulation. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Second coming, not rapture. Do you see how easy it is to become confused by signs? And if you look at everything going on in the world, even in Luke 21 covers the same things, great earthquakes in various places. Over this past couple of days, we've had some serious activity of earthquakes. Of course, the one in Mexico, which has killed over 200 people, many of them children. All of the earthquakes that have happened from Los Angeles, 3.8, Evansville, Indiana, 3.8, New Madrid fault, shaking there, sixes in Japan and New Zealand. All the shaking is going on. And then we have these fearful signs, sights, and great signs in the heaven, like the Revelation 12 sign happening in a couple of days. So we have signs in the sun, signs in the moon, signs in the stars, great distress of the nations, seas and waves roaring. Again, yes, they're signs. Yes, they're indicators. Yes, they are tokens of future events. But don't be deceived. Then you get to Acts chapter 1, just before the Lord leaves. And they have the same question. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And his word to them in verse 7 of Acts 1 is, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. He's speaking to the disciples at a very specific time. That word sign in the Greek is semion. It's a indication of something ceremonial or supernatural. It could be a miracle, could be a wonder. It could be the portent of a future event, like the sign of the Son of Man. Revelation 12, great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, on her head a garland of 12 stars, a great fiery red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head. The whole Revelation 23, Revelation 12, September 23 event. Folks, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen on September 23rd. You ready? I'm going to tell you prophecy. I'm going to prophetically tell you what's going to happen on September 23rd. There will be no rapture. The church isn't leaving. The Lord's not coming back. So what I predict for September 23rd is that nothing will happen on September 23rd. And there are a lot of people running around saying some craziness. Don't be fooled. Listen to the Spirit. Stop listening to false teachers. Go back to Matthew 24. This is verse 34. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Well, which generation is that? Just before verse 34, he talks about the parable of the fig tree. Parable of the fig tree is about Israel. Israel becomes a nation. That generation will not pass away. We're still within that time frame. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And then here we go, verse 36, the one scripture I'm hearing all the time from the other extreme, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It says in Mark 13:32, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven. They had not the Son, which was not in the original text, but only the Father. Listen to what the Lord is saying. I love when people say, even Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. Forgive me if this sounds rude. I want to look at those teachers and say, are you a scriptural moron? A, he's not a man anymore. B, he sits at the right hand of the Father. He and the Father are one. Of course, he knows when he's coming back. Of course, he knows prophetically what triggers him standing up from the throne and coming back. Listen to what he says in the context of what he says. But let's not get caught up in when. Let's get caught up in what. What are we supposed to be doing? That's what the parable of the 10 minutes are about. Do business until the master returns. Don't hide it. Don't squeeze it. Don't hold on to it. Do something with it. Instead of being concerned about the date of Messiah's return, the disciples were told, carry on. Do the job. Get the message out. All of this other stuff is a demonic distraction. That's why, right after he says it's not for you to know times or seasons, he tells them, but you shall receive dunamis, you shall receive explosive power. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Stop worrying about when. I'm going to tell you what, and I'm going to tell you how. You're going to be fired up. You're going to be filled with the Spirit. You're going to be thinking about one thing and one thing alone. Does that mean they weren't watching? Does that mean they weren't longing for his return? No. You see it in their writings, but they weren't so fixated on it that they were distracted by it. We have been empowered to be witnesses, not watchers. We need to be active, not spectators. And that same power is available to us today. We're not supposed to be convincing anybody of anything. We're just supposed to testify to the truth of the gospel by living it out and showing people what they want to know. What has he done for you? But what's interesting is Paul tells the church in Thessalonica, you do know. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Times and seasons in the Hebrews are moadim. I'm sure I mangled that. Moadim. It's a plural word, and it means for an appointment, a fixed time, a festival, a place of meeting. It's a signal. All of those things we know. We don't have to know when. We know perfectly that he's coming, how he's coming, as a thief in the night. He's going to shock us. He's going to show up unannounced. But we're supposed to be watching and we're supposed to be ready. He goes on in verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians 5. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, not to pour out his anger on us. We shall not see his wrath. Messiah died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other, build up each other, just as you're already doing. The clue in 1 Thessalonians 5 is the people that don't know, the people that will be caught off guard, are the ones that live in the dark and sleep. Who is that? The unsaved world. We don't sleep. We live in the light. We don't live in the dark. We will be ready. So he's not pointing to a time, but he's exhorting them to live in the light that they already know, live in the knowledge that they already know, and stop being distracted by the rest of it. Peter says the same thing, 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Revelation 3:3. Therefore, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you'll not know what hour I will come upon you. 10 virgins, 5 were asleep, no oil in their lamp, not ready. 5 were asleep, but they had oil in their lamp, and when the call came, lamp got lit, they saw the door, they went in with the bridegroom. Here's the other thing. Just as it was in the days of Noah, we talked about this last week, sin and demonic activity will continue until the moment he shows up. So there is no millennium of righteousness. There is no kingdom now. He begins the kingdom. He triggers the millennium of righteousness. Therefore, he has to come back before that happens. So all of this kingdom now nonsense, ignore it. I have begun to very quietly disengage myself from people that will not stop teaching that lie. Because that word return, parousia, it means a coming, means an appearing. The end of the world, the end of the age is the climax of all things. It's the end of history as the world knows it, and the beginning of history as the kingdom of God knows it. See, Yeshua's second coming will bring worldly history to an end with a decisive judgment, with an appearance, one of the best appearances of all time. And so the disciples were thinking the destruction of the temple, the end of history close by. No, they were not. They were signs that pointed towards something else, that these things must take place. What must take place? Well, first of all, the lawless one will be revealed. Has he been revealed yet? Nope, he has not. And when he is, he'll get consumed with the breath of the Lord's mouth and be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Again, second coming, Valley of Armageddon, Mount of Olives. Come on, folks. This is basic stuff, and I can't believe I have to keep covering it. The world's dying. People are dying. The signs are blaring all around us. The enemy's active, more active, and more arrogant than I've ever seen him before. And we're being distracted by stupidity. We're being distracted from the real call, the real commission. I mean, I'm looking at these conferences and the DVDs and the books. And not only am I disinterested, I'm offended. We're watching the birth pangs. We're seeing them happen. We're being hated. If there was ever a time in history beside the Book of Acts time, when believers in Yeshua were hated, this is it. The enemy's active. He's in the harvest. He's putting tares, weeds in the wheat. And everybody's worried about the weed. Oh, we gotta spray some supernatural weed killer over there. Oh, we can't have that there. We gotta pluck it out. No. Matthew 13:39-40. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire at the end of the age. Matthew 13:49. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the just. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the goal. Stop worrying about the weeds. The Lord will take care of it at the end. The angels will take care of it at the end. harvest the wheat. As I look at these calamities, I look at these catastrophes, I think about the people that left this world without knowing the Lord because we're too busy being religious. We're too busy about everything but what we were told to be about, the gospel. The birth pangs are happening, a period of intense anguish prior to his return, an uncomfortable time, pestilences, famines, earthquakes, sorrows. Is that an accurate description of now? If you believe that it is, and I do, I mean, I don't know how long it could last, but it could last a while. Maybe that's what I've been feeling in my spirit. You know, after that week of no power and technology was gone and I spent a lot of time praying and spending a lot of time with the Lord and all the distractions were gone and I began to think about the calling. I began to think about, Lord, I don't want to be sitting here. I don't want to be dealing with worried about finances or why can't I get out there and, you know, we got to do this. We got to preach the gospel. We have to lay hands on the sick. We have to cast out the demons. We've got to stand against the enemy. We've got to go look for those lambs that have wandered off instead of criticizing and judging them for their decisions and their choices. As I look at the people rescue of some of the pets and the animals caught in the storm and they don't know what to do. They're in floods. They're not sitting there saying, well, you dumb dog, you dumb horse, what are you doing out there? No, they're saving them. Creation is groaning. I'm groaning. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. They've been groaning since Adam and Eve did their foolishness in the garden. They've been groaning since that first animal was slaughtered for meat and for clothing. They've been groaning every time a predator kills another animal to feed and to eat. They've been groaning. Creation has been groaning since man started killing one another and doing what we do. How much more can it groan before it comes apart? But see, we believe is also grown. Because of the Holy Spirit in us, inside of us has given us that foreshadowing, that foretaste of a future glory. A glory in which we don't have broken bodies. In which we are released from the sin and the suffering of this world. So we eagerly hope for the day when we don't just have spiritual rights, we have natural, physical, bodily rights. And we are completely adopted and transformed and given those new bodies. That groaning that I've been quoting from in Romans 8:22 and 8:23 is a frustrated longing for God's deliverance from the oppression of this world. It was the groaning that the children of Israel had in Egypt. It's the groaning that I've been feeling in my spirit all day, and I've just figured it out. I'm tired of watching the enemy do what he does. But I also know during the leading up to his reappearance, it's going to get a whole lot worse until he returns in glory. What will it take? What will it take to wake us up? What will it take to do what Peter did on the day of Pentecost at the risk of being overrun and trampled and killed? To talk to his brothers, Jewish brothers and sisters and those that were listening. To be gentle enough to say you didn't understand what you were doing, but here's what you did. You killed the Messiah. Oh, he came to die, but you did it. But you can make it right. Repent. turn towards God so that your sins may be erased and the time of refreshing from the Lord's presence may come. And he will remain in heaven until the time comes for the restoration of all things. As I look at Hurricane Harvey and Irma and Jose and Maria and whatever comes after them, as I look at the winds and the rains and the floods and the destruction, as I look at Mexico City, 8.1 earthquake a week or two ago, 7.1, over 200 people dead, a three-story school structure completely pancaked, one on top of the other, killing 21 children and 4 adults, like that, gone. When will that be enough to motivate us? You know what we just did in Kansas and the whole concept of this documentary? Is to wake the remnant up and say enough is enough. We're going to go set the captives free. We're going to go set some people free. We're going to get people saved, healed, and delivered. We're going to go after the lambs that have wandered away because of the worthless shepherds and the hirelings. I don't even have time for them. We're going to go grab the lamb out of the lion's mouth. Not for the sake of warfare, not for the sake of putting on a show, because folks, ain't nothing glamorous about this. The real stuff, the real deal, getting out of an air-conditioned room, getting out of a sanctuary or a coliseum or getting off a phone conference call and getting out there and getting dirty and being rejected and being confronted and dealing with it. There's nothing glamorous about that. There's no money in it. What's it going to take? Earthquakes in Los Angeles, Evansville, Indiana, New Zealand, Japan. The Ring of Fire is rumbling. The New Madrid Fault is shaking. The Cascadian fault line across the Pacific Rim is shifting. Something's getting ready to happen. And the signs are at the war. I believe, and I've said this and I'll say it again, the Lord's saying, wake up, my children. Wake up. This is a prelude to judgment. And I don't desire judgment. I desire mercy. And you are my angels, you are my agents of mercy. You know that groaning in Romans 8, if you go to verse 26, it's where I am right now. It's really, really tough to keep talking in English. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. They cannot be uttered in human language. They're a groaning that comes from the Spirit, and he uses our mouth, and he uses our tongue, and he uses our voice. It's a gushing from the heart of God inside of us. Judgment is coming, and I don't revel in that. I know he's a loving God. He desires mercy, but he's a holy God, and he's a God of justice, and he's made a covenant with the world, and he has warned the world from every prophet that there will come a time that you will scream in terror, that every arm will be paralyzed in fear and hearts will melt and people will be terrified. Pains of anguish will grip them like those of a woman in labor. And they'll look helplessly at one another, their faces aflame with fear. For we see the day of the Lord is coming. The terrible day of his fury and his fierce anger. The land will be made desolate, and sinners will be destroyed, and the heavens will be black above them. The stars will give no light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will provide no light. and the Lord will punish the world for its evil and its wickedness. It will crush the arrogance of the proud and humble the pride of the mighty. And people will be scarcer than gold, more rare than the fine gold of Ophir. For he will shake the heavens. The earth will move in its place when the Lord of heaven's army displays his wrath in the day of his anger. That's Isaiah 13. But what's really interesting is he's not really as angry at us as he is at the fallen and the fact that we have aligned ourselves with them. A woman with child is in pain, cries out in her pangs because she knows delivery is near. Isaiah 26:17, Jeremiah 6:24, we have heard the report of it. Our hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us. Pain as of a woman in labor. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to do. I don't want to be sitting here in this room doing this. I'd rather be out about doing this. I'd rather be in city after city after city doing this. I'd rather be standing out in the fields doing this. I'd rather be confronting the fallen and their demonic offspring doing this. But instead, the body would rather support ear ticklers and false teachers. Folks, we're in distress. The world's in distress. The body's in distress. I'm just trying to get the remnant to wake up. I'm trying to get the remnant to be hungry. I'm trying to get the remnant to desire the fire, the zeal of the Lord inside of them, not for religion, not for denominationalism, not for Christian superstars, but for the lost and the dying, to lay hands on people in faith and watch them get healed, to have the courage in the midst of secular situations, like shooting a documentary and saying, you sound like you need prayer. Would you mind if I prayed for you? You know, not one person said no that I said that to. Not one. One woman looked at me with tears in her eyes because she had just gotten talking about how, gotten done talking, how no one cared that the church she went to and the church that she served, which unfortunately was the Roman Catholic Church, they didn't care. And he was a total stranger. I said, can I pray for you? He's coming back with his angels. He's not coming back as baby Jesus. He's coming back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's not coming back as a man. He's coming back as the Savior. He's coming back as the Son of the Living God. He's coming back as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's coming back with attitude. I got news for you. He's bringing angels. He's bringing the saints. He's going to gather his children. And the great part of this, I don't care whether you believe it or not, there are a group that he's going to snatch out of here before all that happens. Like he did with the five virgins that had oil in their lamp. And trumpets are going to sound. And those trumpets are going to be a call to worship. There'll be a call to war. There'll be a call to gather together. See, that's what the trumpets always did. If you look at Exodus 19, you go to verse 16, on the third day in the morning, there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud so that all the people in the camp trembled. They were being called to the mountain. They were being called to Sinai. and the trumpet sound became louder and louder and louder. They were afraid. I'd have been running to that mountain. I'd have been running to the sound of the shofar. I want to see the angel that blows it, and I want to see what it looks like, and I want to have the courage to say, can I give it a shot? There's ceremonial ram's horn that sounded from Sinai, that will sound again. See, we've been in this period of Elul where the trumpet is supposed to be blown, the shofar is supposed to be blown every day, and on the Day of Atonement, in the Jubilee year, to signal the release of the slaves and the debt. And I believe at that same moment, it's a trumpet, a blast of war against his enemies, letting them know, I'm coming for you. Leviticus 25, verse 9, on the 10th day of the 7th month, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, you are to sound a blast on the shofar and sound the shofar all throughout your land. See, and it's at the end of the harvest season. Boy, you guys got to catch all the symbolism here. The end of the harvest season on the 49th year and the Day of Atonement, that sound will go throughout the land, proclaiming liberty to the captives. It's predicted in Isaiah 18:3 and 27:13, Zechariah 9:14. He's going to bring the whirlwinds from the south. The Lord's going to blow the trumpet. The Son of God was and is Jewish, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the line of David, a priest after the order of Melchizedek, the Passover lamb slain before the foundation of the world and the fulfillment of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I am at one with my Father. I have been atoned by the blood of the Lamb. The celebration of atonement is for the world. It's for Israel. It's for Jerusalem. It's for those that have not been made complete in Messiah. But here we are, sundown in Israel, sundown here. We are in Rosh Hashanah. We are in the Feast of Trumpets. And this is a feast yet to be fulfilled. It's the beginning of the Jewish New Year. You see, there will be a day when that Jewish New Year will go on forever. And the Savior will appear, and he'll set up his kingdom on this earth. The millennial reign, the reign of the Messiah. And in the days like this, the trumpet is blown, the shofar is blown, but then they'll hear the last trump, the trump of God, and they'll see the only begotten Son of God. They'll see the one whom they have pierced, and they will mourn. And he will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. And it'll be the beginning of a new time. Well, here and now, right now, in this world, in this time, this is the beginning of a new time. This is the beginning of a time when we should be celebrating the seeking of the Lord, his blessing and his provision for the coming new year. A time of thankfulness for the provision. A time for people to turn away from their wickedness and turn back towards him. He doesn't want them. I don't want to go too far over because I'm going to go over anyway. But if you go to Ezekiel 18 and you read verses 21 through 32, you'll find out he has no desire that people should perish. He doesn't want anybody should perish. He wants them to have everlasting life, and that's why he sent his Son into the world. But somebody's got to tell them. Somebody has to show them. Somebody has to take them, even just open the book of John and read it with them. You see, Ezekiel 18:32 says, I have no pleasure in the death of him who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn, be converted, and live. Live. Be revived. Be alive. Be born again. The time of ignorance has been overlooked, but it's also come to an end. Folks, the time of foolishness for the church has come to an end. If you look at Psalm 98, it's only 9 verses. I'll read them. Now, I want you to listen, and I'm going to go over, so bear with me. This is a special one tonight. Not that all the others weren't special, but there's just something about this one. And I'm really hoping that those that listen hear, and those that hear do, and that they are changed. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp. Do you know we're going to play harps throughout eternity? For some of us, it'll be a joyful noise. It won't matter. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the people with equity. Are these natural calamities proclaiming the coming of the King? One of the residents in Puerto Rico describing Hurricane Maria as it slammed into the island. She said, the river looks like an animal. Oh, by the way, I don't know if I told you this, but the Feast of Trumpets is known as the feast that no man knows the day or the hour. In ancient Jerusalem, the day that no man knows, because it took two witnesses to see the new moon, because they didn't know which night it would appear, and those two witnesses would stand on the walls of Jerusalem and watch for the crescent of the new moon. And when they saw that the two witnesses would sound the shofar and all the people in the city would immediately drop what they were doing. If they were in the fields working, they would just drop what they were doing and they would run towards the temple for the celebration of Yom Teruah. And the temple doors would be only open for a short period of time. And if you missed it, if the doors closed, you didn't get in. So they ran. And they had to have oil in their lamp because they had to see where they were going. Oh, folks, are you getting the symbolism here? Because they didn't want to miss the blessing of the new year. They didn't want to miss the blessing of the release, because this is taking us up to Yom Kippur, September 29th. And the time of Elul, repentance, will be over. The time of reflection will be over. The time leading up to Rosh Hashanah and the blowing of the shofar and all of that will take us to the time. So what I'm going to do, and yes, we're going over, and again, I don't care. With the trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. I'm going to play the shofar blast, all of it, for Rosh Hashanah. It's almost 2 minutes long. I want you to start shouting. I want you to start praying. I want you to start thanking. I want you to start releasing the blessings. I've been sitting here all day praising him and crying out to God and speaking things not as they are but as they should be, and doing it in respect and reverence but in joy, and receiving the blessings that are coming, the releases of the finances, the release, the doors open of ministry to be able to go into Babylon, whether it's Hollywood or New York or wherever you want to call Babylon, and walk in there boldly with a little strut in my step, because I know who I am, and I know who I serve, and I know what spirit's inside of me, and I know the enemy's just going to get out of my way. I'm believing for that release, that manifest release over the next 2 minutes. Begin to pray. Begin to speak to your healing, to your marriages, whatever your needs are. 2 minutes is a long time. If you've never dealt with it, if you've never fought for 2 or 3 minutes, you'd have no idea how long it is. But folks, this is the time. This is the time to pray. This is the time to allow the sound of the shofar on this particular night to reach into your soul, to break down the walls, to rip apart the cages and the doors and the shackles and everything you've dragged with you. This is the time. Praise him. I pray you had the guts to do it. I pray you had the fire to do it. I pray that over those almost 2 minutes, 1 minute, 56 seconds, if you want to be exact, you prayed in a way you've never prayed before. You believed in a way you've never believed before. But folks, we have entered a time of the blessings. We have entered a time of celebration. We've entered the time of a new year of release. And I pray in Yeshua's name that it is so for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Richard Grun. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.